So good to see you this morning. Turn to someone and say, Merry New Year's. Well, I mean, think about it. We are between Christmas and New Year's. We're not to New Year's yet. We've just left Merry New Year's. It seems, if you want to confuse somebody this week, walk up to them and say, Merry New Year's. We are starting a new year in just on Wednesday. Wednesday is New Year's Day, and I this morning just want to minister to you a message entitled Full Access, Full Access. I'm just going to warn you, this probably is developing into a series, two or three sermon series, but I just this morning want to talk to you from my heart about full access, giving God full access. And I want to read a portion of Scripture in a moment. Going to focus in on a particular phrase, but I want to read a portion of Scripture from John, the 15th chapter. So turn there with me. John, the 15th chapter. It's coming back on the screen. But you may also want to keep it open so you can mark it up as we walk through it. Jesus is speaking here now. Remember, this is his most intimate words to his disciples. His most intimate words to his disciples. He's going to the cross not far from now. And part of what he says is this in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Father, we thank you and we praise you that as we come right now, we come to your word, which is logos to us. It's living word. It's word that's spoken that has brought life into us. And Lord, in that life, it becomes rhema, it becomes real, it becomes sustaining. So we ask that this morning you come into this moment, this holy moment, Lord, of preaching of the gospel, and you inhabit it by your spirit to speak to our lives about giving you full access. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 60% of you will make New Year's resolutions. Statistically, 60% of you will make New Year's resolutions. 8% of you will keep them. In fact, what's that, Mike? 8%. 8% will follow through. Any guesses? You may well. Any guesses on what the average date is that people keep their resolutions? They start on January 1st. Any guesses on the average date people keep? Michael is exactly right. January 12th. By January 12th, 90% of the people will say, phooey with the resolutions. I am done with resolutions. But what are resolutions all about? Did you look that up or did you just guess? Just guess. Okay. I feel better about myself now. what is it with resolutions? Resolutions is about positive change, right? I mean, whether it's health resolutions, it's work, it's relationship, it's church, it's ministry, whatever it is, it's about positive change, about positive change. And as I was thinking on that, the Lord just impressed upon me this passage of Scripture, and in particular, I want a key. There's a key phrase in this passage. It's in John chapter 15, verse 5. There's a key phrase and a key word. So I want to read that phrase again and just talk about it a little bit. And then make some applications to our lives. Notice what this key phrase is. If you remain. Somebody say remain. Remain. That word remain occurs in the NIV version. That word remain occurs 8 times in those verses that we just read. 8 times. Remain. Remain. Remain in me. also remain in me. Remain in the vine. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. My words remain in you. These words, this word remain occurs over and over again. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That word remain is a key, is the key word to this whole phrase and indeed to this whole passage. I'm not going to preach on the whole passage. I want to preach on this phase. Let me just unpack this word remain a little bit for you. It's an interesting word. It has three, if you will, nuances of the word. They all apply in this particular case. The word, first of all, the word remain means to stay. To stay. And it means to stay in two ways. One is to stay in location. It also means to stay in the state of being, the state of being. So what is being said, the first thing that is being said here is that Christ is telling them to stay in location, that is in relationship to him, and to stay in the state of being in relationship to him. So you are to stay there. You are to, in fact, how many of your versions have the word abide instead of remain? Abide. Yes, that's a good word. That's a good word, especially for this first definition. It is abide, stay, remain. Remain in that location. Remain in me. Stay in me, both in location and in the state of being. In other words, your state of being is in me. Who are you? You are in Christ. That is your state of being. The second verse, the second definition is the word to last. To last. It is to remain or to last or to continue. To be lasting or to be continuing. How many of you understand and realize that in order to last in this world, you better remain? Right? In order to last in this world, we have to remain in him. In order to last in this world, you have to stay in him. The third definition, so the idea is to stay in him and then to last in him. You know, that coming in 2020, I want to last. I don't want to give out halfway through. I don't want to give out a third through. I don't want to be like my resolutions. I'm about January 12th, that's it, fooey, and I'm done with the resolutions, right? I want to last. I want to be in for the long haul. So the word is to stay. It is to last. And then the last nuance of this word is to await. Or in other words, to wait. So it is to stay. It is to last. It is to wait in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is it that Jesus was telling his disciples here now? Remember, Jesus is about to go to the cross. And if he goes to the cross, he's going to be on earth for 50 days, and then he's going to the Father. And what he is telling them, what he's giving them is the key for living from this point forward. What he's saying to them is that everything that accomplishes, everything that happens from this point forward, all of it hinges on remaining, staying, lasting, waiting in your relationship with me. Christ is telling his disciples that going forward in life, watch this now, as we sit here on the eve of 2020, on the eve of a new decade, can you believe it? We are about to begin the third decade in the 21st century. That's just mind-boggling, isn't it? On the eve of that, Christ is saying to the disciples that life going forward is dependent on staying in relationship with him, continuing to exist through relationship with him, and waiting in relationship with him. Now, I don't think that anything I've said so far is necessarily groundbreaking for most of the ones. Like Simi said a few moments ago, most all of us are regular church people. I don't think anything is groundbreaking so far. But there are some implications for our lives of what we've just read. There's some implications for our lives that we need to unpack for just a few moments this morning as it relates to giving God full access to our lives, full access to our lives. There are three of these implications, and I just want to mention them to you. The first one is this: remaining precedes producing. Remaining precedes producing. producing. Being precedes doing. Being in him precedes doing for him. Let me say that again. In order to give God full access, we've got to get our hands around the fact that being in him, it precedes doing for him. See, watch this. Who you are is more important than what you do, including in the kingdom. We have a bad way, especially in Western culture, of measuring by the wrong dynamics. Measuring by the wrong dynamics. Who you are is more important than what you do. Being in him is more important than producing for him. It doesn't mean that producing is not important. That does matter. The context tells us that clearly matters. In fact, verse 8 says, as you produce, the Father gets glory. I'm not saying producing doesn't matter. I'm saying this, who you are produces what you do. Let me say that again. That just needs to kind of set. Who you are produces what you do. We want to think that we can produce, right? In fact, in some people's lives, they produce to try to cover up who they are, but who you are produces what you do. It produces the fruit. Who you are produces the fruit. Here's the best way I know to put it. You are a human being before you are a human doing. Let me say it again. You are a human being before you are a human doing. And if you are a human being in Christ, you will be doing what Christ wants you to do. But if you are a human being in and of yourself, you will produce in and of yourself. Hello? So one of the implications is that remaining precedes producing. Another implication of this is this, is that who you are in Christ is connected to Christ himself. It's not connected to the activities of Christ. It's connected to Christ himself. And apart from him, you can do what?
Nothing.
We do not appreciate the full gravity of this statement. That if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. We don't appreciate the gravity of that statement. Let me show you what Christ said about this in another place and see if we can get our hands around the gravity of that. Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the things that he says in Matthew, the chapter 7, you don't have to turn there right now, but if you want to look it up later, is Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And Jesus said, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will make it into the kingdom of heaven. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, you say, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We have driven out demons in your name. We have performed, in fact, it's interesting, in the NIV, Jesus says, we have performed many miracles in your name. We have performed many miracles in your name. Watch this. He says, but I say to you, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now I want to emphasize two things from that that helps us understand this idea of apart from him, we can do nothing. One of the things is this, is that we try to make what they did as nothing. We try to explain away what they did. But apparently these results are real. Jesus didn't say, you appear to prophesy in my name, but I don't know you. He said, you prophesied in my name. Now, I'm just going to tell you, theologically, that's kind of like, I think I used the phrase the other day, theologically, that's kind of like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. It's just, what do you do with that, right? Jesus didn't say, you appeared to drive demons out. Jesus said, they drove demons out in his name. Jesus didn't say they appeared to do many miracles in your name. In the context, it appears that they prophesied in his name. They drove out demons in his name. They performed many miracles in his name. But Jesus said, I never knew. You know what he was saying? You come to me telling me everything you've been doing, but who are you? There it is, right? They drove out demons in his name. They prophesied in his name. They did many miracles in his name. And they come to Jesus and said, we've been doing all of this. And Jesus says, but like, who are you? Wow. Do you know why that's important? Because being precedes doing. And there's going to be a lot of doing in 2020. And in fact, at the end of January, we're going to be walking through our mission and vision again. We're going to be re-talking our way through that and reworking our way through that. And there is a component of that that is about going and doing. But the reason this is important, preceding that, is because being matters more than doing. And out of being, doing is produced. And unless you are being, then what you're doing counts for nothing. Wow. There it is. Everything we do as a church matters as in the context of who we are. Jesus says, who are you? And in fact, it's almost like they come to him and say, we've prophesied in your name. We've driven out demons in your name. We have done many miracles in your name. And Jesus says, but I don't know who you are and you don't either. Wow. Wow. I love these transition services because they challenge us down to the core of who we are. Obviously, a lot of stuff was happening. Can I make that contemporary in a way? You know, we look around and a church is booming over here, or a ministry is happening over there, or God is doing it seems like God is doing fabulous things over there, and then something goes awry, and we want to say none of that was real. But the fact is, I mean, according to the context, it's all real. Listen, when people get saved, that's real. When demons are cast out, that's real. When people are healed, that's real. When people are discipled, that's all of that is real. How can that happen? That happens because of the power of God. But for you and I, what matters is being before doing. And in 2020, if you want to bear much fruit, you're going to have to learn to give him full access. Full access. What is that? That leads into the third point. I told you there were three nuances of this. Remaining precedes producing. The second nuance is that being connected to Christ is where fruit is produced from. But the third thing is this, is notice the progression of those definitions. Notice the progression of those definitions. Abide, last, wait. Abide, last, wait. When you abide, then you can last. And when you last, then you can wait on him. But here's the thing. Here's the thing for us. And here's the thing that I know will be the problem for every one of us, including your pastor, when it comes to what I'm talking about this morning in 2020. Here's the thing. You can't say remain. Somebody say remain. Remain. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. You cannot remain, air quotes, you cannot remain in a hurry. You cannot stay in a hurry. You cannot last in a hurry. You cannot wait in a hurry. Let me say that again. You cannot wait in a hurry. Right? Have you ever waited in a hurry? It is the most exasperating experience there possibly is, to wait in a hurry. But that's going to be our problem in 2020. We want to wait in a hurry. We want to last in a hurry. We want to stay in a hurry. We want to abide in a hurry. We want to remain in a hurry. And I'm telling you, that's the reason so many Christians are exasperated with their Christian walk. You want to make positive change? We started talking about resolution. In fact, it was interesting. It was interesting. Forbes wrote a piece a couple of years ago that said the solution to resolution is don't make them. Just don't make them in the first place. Now, I got news for you this morning. There's a better solution for our growth. There's a positive change that happens in your life and my life when we learn this discipline of remaining, staying, lasting, waiting in Him. But it cannot be done in a hurry. I mean, you know, have you ever waited for an appointment in a hurry? Waited for somebody to get dressed in a hurry? Can I get an amen from somebody this morning?
Amen.
Or have you ever been waiting for someone to take out the garbage in a hurry? Just stir it up this morning, Pastor. Just stir it up. Or waiting for someone, for me, because I'm melancholy, I want to get to the point. What's the point? Waiting for someone to stop talking in a hurry. Oh my word. Will you just get to the point? But as funny as all that is, and I hope you're laughing next week. As funny as all that is, that's the way we live our Christian lives. And the deal for us is learning to remain. And you can't do that in a hurry. Right? You can't do that in a hurry. So what that means for you and I is that you and I have to create some margin in our lives so God can speak. We got to create some margin. Now, I'm not saying God belongs on the margin of your life. God obviously belongs in the center of your life. I'm talking about the way we live life. We live life to the edge. We live life right up to the edge. And we don't leave any margin for God to speak. I mean, I hear it. In fact, our culture pushes that. Live life to the edge. Well, get a mental picture of that. Living life to the edge. Think of a cliff. Living life right to the edge. Well, listen, if you're going to live life to the edge, wouldn't you want to kind of like hear from God before you get to the edge? Let me see if I can illustrate what I mean. I bought a new personal study Bible for 2020. I try to read the Bible all the way through once a year. Or each year, and at times I will buy a new, fresh Bible to do that with. And this year I made sure to buy a Bible that has wide margins. Why? Because I want to have room to write down what God is saying to me. But if it's filled to the edges, there's nowhere for me to remember, to grasp, to apply, to do what God is speaking into my life to do. And I'm telling you, that's a picture of our lives. And so the only way to stop this, to get ahead of this hurry, the only way is to create some margin in our lives. And now I don't know. For everybody, this is different. For everybody, this is different. But I think this is generally true. Most of us cannot do with less sleep. Anybody here this morning that would do less sleep? I can do with less sleep. I do, yeah, like no hands at all. many of you, cannot do with less work. I mean, you have to be there a certain number of hours. You have to drive the truck to a certain place. You can't do with less work. So where is there a place to create margin? Can I offer for you one practical, doable thing? But you've got to figure out how this fits for you. But one practical, doable thing. And I introduce it with this question. Would you trade some leisure for intimacy? Would you trade some leisure for intimacy? Dr. David Montgomery, you remember back in 2016, the event in 2016 that left me paralyzed for a period, and then months and months of us trying to figure out what was going on there. And one of the things that that left me with was just this incredible insomnia. And the problem with insomnia is that it makes you exhausted, and the more exhausted you are, your life just becomes just a mess. And I remember seeing an incredible cardiologist, actually. They examined my head, and they found out I did have a head, and they examined my heart, and they found out I did have a heart. Despite what some people might think, Pastor does have a head, he does have a heart. But I remember sitting in his office and just talking, and he said, just talk to me. He was an incredible man, incredible Christian, happened to be an African-American man, but was the most gracious and I think the most intelligent doctor that we dealt with through that entire time. And he just talked to me a little bit, and he said, and I talked to him about the insomnia, and he said this. I'm going somewhere. He said, Pastor, do this. 1 hour before you go to bed, turn off all the screens. Turn off all the screens. Turn off your phone. Turn off your watch. Turn off your TV. Turn off your computer. Turn off all the screens an hour before you go to bed. And you will find that you will rest better. And you know, he is absolutely correct. Now let me add to that, David Foster, Richard Foster, and Dallas Willard, who are two of the greatest practical theologians that I've ever read, says during that time between when you turn everything off and you actually lay down to go to sleep, during that time, ask yourself, where was God today? And did I miss him? Where did God speak today? And did I hear him in that moment? Well, you know what that is? That's remaining. That's staying. That's lasting. That's waiting in him for a little. That's creating margin. Listen to me. You know what I want? I want enough margin in my life where God can write what he wants to write in the margins of my life. I'm not saying God belongs on the margins. I'm saying I don't want to live life to the edge and never hear from God, never see what he's doing, and only experience it after the fact. Here's what I know is true. Here's what I know is true. If you create margin for God to have full access to your life, you will find that he fills your life completely. He fills your life completely. I want God to be able to write in the margins of my life. I want to remain in him, Brother Tishnell. I want to remain in him in such a way so that tomorrow I hear him in the moment. Tomorrow I experience him in the moment. Tomorrow I realize in the moment. I don't want to, listen, if I get to the end of my day every day and every day I'm recognizing I missed him, I didn't hear him, he moved and I didn't realize it till after the fact, I need more margin. So I encourage you in 2020. It's not a New Year's resolution, right? Only 8% of us can do that. Now, it's not a New Year's resolution. It's about creating space, creating margin so that God can speak into our lives. And you do that by remaining in him. Say it with me, remain. When you remain in him, you begin to give him full access. And when he has full access, he will fill you with true life, amen? Father God, I come to you this morning as we come to the end of this last service in 2019. We are looking at a new decade, a new year, a new decade. And Lord, I know that there are many people sitting here this morning that are just like me in that. Lord, it doesn't take long in that new habit. It doesn't seem to take long, God, for me to go back to the old ways. So Lord, I pray that this morning we would create margin. We would create space so that you can write in the margins of our lives. I don't want to fill my life so full. There's no place for you, no space for you to speak. Lord, I pray that we all, as individuals first, and collectively as a church, would learn to remain, to stay, to last, to wait in relationship with you. Because human being is more important than human doing. And out of human being comes great human doing. Because it's not just human born then. I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, I pray that you speak it right now. There are individuals that are even right now are wrestling with this challenge that I gave. I just want to pause right there. Just continue with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want to pause right there. Lord, I pray, just at the unction of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, for freedom from the screens. Freedom from the screens. They are a part of our life. We have to have them to function, but Lord, there should be a space, a margin in the day when we turn off the screen time and we have FaceTime with you. Real FaceTime with you, God. That you can speak into our lives. Lord, there are some here this morning, maybe more of us than we care to recognize, that, Lord, are just almost addicted to picking up the phone, turning on the computer, turning on the TV. And Lord, I repent for that in my life. And Lord, I pray that we repent for that in our lives, Lord, and we create a margin for you to write in our lives, speak in our lives, move in our lives, God. Because, Lord, going forward, there is much fruit, but let it start by us remaining in you. We praise you and we thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at me before you. Normally, when I get to this point, I don't always, let me put it that way. I'm telling you, I just felt like a word from the Lord in the moment. A word from the Lord in the moment about screen time. I just want to challenge you strongly to create, to follow Dr. David Montgomery's advice. He was telling me it for a different reason, but follow his advice and create that space for remaining. And you'll find that God will fill your life so much more than anything that you see on a screen. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. I pray you have not only a merry New Year's, but a happy New Year's, that you celebrate with friends and family, and that you look forward to being back next Sunday. I'm going to minister on this some more next Sunday. I pray that you will be here. Until we see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.